listening
to the 365 Sportscast.
Hey guys, this is Mike Medano, and you're listening to Sarcastic Remarks on 365 Sportscast Radio Network.
And welcome to another edition of Sarcastic Remarks, along with Christian Chambers, my brother. I am Ryan, your host, and I am in a pretty good mood today because two things happened. One, I've been playing Skyrim almost nonstop, so that's been a lot of fun. But also, guess who was eliminated from the playoffs today? The Blues.
I hate the Blues.
Screw the Blues.
We said they were the worst team in the playoffs, and man, we're so smart.
Yep, so far that's been proven the case. I guess we were going to talk about that later, but anyway, just a throw it on real quick. So along with St. Louis getting swept in the first round by the Colorado Avalanche, which the Colorado Avalanche look really scary, by the way. I don't know if anybody knew that, but, you know, they look really scary. Also, the Boston Bruins dominantly defeated the Capitals today, and they won their series 4-1. And the one game they lost, just one bad game, so...
What'd I say? I said they were going to be sneaky good.
Yeah, so... Okay.
I'm looking like a genius so far, I mean. I'm happy.
Well, it's because you picked all of the easy teams. You picked all the higher seed teams.
Boston was
not
an easy team.
Boston's crap.
Not an easy team. Boston's below
shut up.
Washington.
No, Chris, you're an idiot. Shut up. You're an absolute idiot. Okay, so anyways...
Jesus, so uncalled for so early. Goodness.
Okay, anyway, before we get to that, we got a lot of other stuff we got to talk about before we get to regular NHL stuff. But before we do, is there a certain series that you're watching right now that you're kind of interested in or that you've been watching a lot of?
Unfortunately, the Carolina and Predator series.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't want to get into it too much. We'll talk about that later, but that's a fun series to watch. And before we get to any of the current playoff stuff, let's talk about Stars hockey for a little bit. We got a couple of things to talk about, including some recent Stars news. We're going to talk about some questions and maybe some discussions that have been kind of raised over the past, for some of these, over the past couple months, and some of these over the past couple of weeks. And then we'll talk a little bit more about the current playoff situation and... you know, 1 week later, two teams are already done. So, and then there's some other stuff that we need to talk about that are kind of interesting, especially in the Central Division matchups, which actually have turned out pretty good, especially the Nashville-Carolina series. It's been a lot of fun to watch. Okay, but first off, a couple of recent Stars news. The rookies continue to impress, and the Stars aren't even playing right now. And, of course, what I'm talking about is the play of Jason Robertson mostly, but also Jake Oettinger at the World Championships for Team USA. So Jason Robertson, first game, he was named the player of the game for Team USA as a 21-year-old. And I think he scored a goal, and he scored the only goal for Team USA. And then I can't remember if it was today or yesterday, he played against Canada, and they upset the Canadians 5-1, and he was a big instrumental part in that. And also being
goal and an assist.
Yeah, goal and assist in the World Championships, and also a really key part of that win was the play of Jake Oettinger. So Starlars started for Team USA at the World Championships, but he got hurt and sustained an injury. So of course, who jumps in? Who better to jump in a situation like that? Jake Oettinger, and he saves 26 of 26 to keep the win for the Americans. So Great play for the two of these guys, and we'll talk more about that later. But what have you liked about the play of those two guys at the World Championships?
I mean, right now they're showing the same stuff that they were showing when they were playing with the Stars. So right now, Robertson is leading the whole USA team in points, which is pretty outstanding. One of his goals was pretty soft, but I mean, he's playing great all around. He's playing defensively as well. I think he's he is the best two-way rookie of this year, like by far. And Jake Oettinger does what he does best. I mean, we've seen him come in for Doby, and he's actually been great at that. That's kind of something we haven't really talked about. Like, as a backup and as someone coming back into the lineup when the other guy sucks, like, he's been fantastic. So he's definitely, and he showed that he could do it again. So it was really good. It was a big win for USA too. Canada sucks as well.
Well, I mean, you have to give them some benefit of the doubt because there are still a lot of NHL teams that are playing. And, you know, with the schedule and everything, there were a ton of players that said, no thanks, I'm not going to play at the World Championships this year just because of the insane schedule, not just for the Stars, but for every team.
Well, the World Championships, it's normally just for the prospects, to be honest. I mean, the only reason Oettinger and Robertson are playing in them is kind of to boost their stock in themselves, so to say, just to prove that they are really good players so that when their next contracts come up, they can get a bigger boost and they have something else to point at, proving that they can score goals and make saves.
Yeah, put on the resume. Jake Oettinger has been doing that for a while now. He was a member of the United States National Development Team. Both of them have actually, you know, represented their country at, you know, on the national stage and the international stage. So it's great to see both of those guys playing well, and especially Jason Robertson, because, you know, you could say, oh, well, Jason Robertson just had a good season. Yeah, that's great and everything, but he's – and it's not like it just matters about the people that he played with. Because, I mean, look who he's playing with at the World Championships. They're not the high-caliber players that he was playing with when he was here with the Stars. So, that really makes me excited. And we'll talk more about this later, about, you know, the Stars maybe needing some elite players. Maybe Robertson can fulfill that role. Okay, before we get ahead of ourselves, so, second... recent Stars news thing. Roope Hintz had a surgery on Wednesday, and according to the organization, the surgery that was held in New York City was successful. So it looks like he's just going to be spending the next couple months, you know, taking it easy, rehabbing, and he'll be ready for training camp. So, as expected, and, you know, and speaking of players that could be elite for the Stars, because the Stars don't really have those elite players right now, he's probably the most likely one, and we'll talk more about that here in a second. But the very last thing I wanted to mention, and this is just kind of a cool thing more than anything, but Max Fortunas, who was a prospect for the longest time, he never really made it to the NHL. He played a couple games in the NHL, but... His main legacy is with the Texas Stars. He was the captain when the Texas Stars won the Calder Cup back in 2014. He was a big part of that team, and he is now joining the Texas Stars as an assistant coach, along with video coach Patrick Dolan, and also former Texas Star Travis Morin. So that's kind of a cool situation. I do want to play a little bit of the audio of Max Fortunas, and he about just like his excitement with joining the Texas Stars as an assistant coach. Go ahead and listen to this.
First of all, I wanted to, you know, just say thank you for the opportunity to the Dallas Stars staff. You know, I think it's going to be a good challenge, a good opportunity for me. Thanks to Whitey, Jim, and Tom there, just to show the confidence in me. And you know, I love Texas. Been there for 6 years. So I think it's going to be a fun challenge for me, like I said. And, you know, I'm just so grateful to be able to be part of that staff again. So thanks a lot.
You and I talked about this 5-6 years ago when you were a player, but you're joining a small fraternity of black coaches now in hockey. And I'm curious if that holds any weight for you and if you think about that at all.
Yes, it's for me, it's I guess it's who I am, but there's not a whole lot of black coaches, I guess, in hockey and professional hockey. So I'm really happy if I'm paving the way for some guys coming before me. And I know there's other guys that were there, but in front of me, like I had the chance to be coached by Paul Girard, and then after that, you see a guy like Joel Ward, who's coaching with the Silver Knights now. So, it's a big thing for sure for the black community and for the minority community. But at the same time, I know that that's not why they hired me. I know it's I'm guessing it's more for my qualities, and I hope it's from that's from what me and Taco with Scott White, my qualities as a person. That's what I've always tried to bring everywhere I went, and so I think that's what counts in all of this.
So he mentioned a lot of good things, and I'm just happy that he's back with the Texas Stars. And obviously, the Stars organization sees some sort of benefit in bringing him back. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they saw a benefit in him being in the AHL and named him captain of their AHL team. So when you become the captain of an AHL team, you're probably good enough to play in the NHL, but they just see you as a guy who can more help the younger guys below you move up and be a good role model for them. And obviously, he was. So they want to bring him back onto the team and have him keep doing what he was doing before, but this time behind the bench instead of on the ice. So yeah, I think definitely, I think he knows his role, and he's done it amazingly already. And now he's just going to be doing it again in a suit instead of with skates.
Well, and and Saad asked him that question about being a black coach and being in that role. Cause I mean, there are not very many, black players in the NHL. But when you think about, the black community and the ties to Dallas, I mean, you think about Trevor Daley, and Trevor Daley was one of the first black Dallas Stars players. You think about Seth Jones, who grew up in Plano, and he is a very big-time player for the Columbus Blue Jackets now. And then, Max Fortunas. I think this is a great opportunity for the black community, but what I do appreciate about what Max Fortunas said is it's not necessarily about, being black and everything. The great thing that I think the black community wants is they want to just be seen as, just another coach or just another hockey player. It's great that the black community is getting their, representation out there in hockey, because I only feel like that that betters the hockey community. But obviously, that wasn't a huge decision in when the Stars hired him. It was about, his merits, what he did as the captain of the Texas Stars, and such and such. What do you think this means to the black community, Chris?
Well, yeah, I mean, the black community is smaller in hockey because the other countries that play hockey have, almost no black people in them. Like Scandinavian countries, Canada has a very low black population. But yeah, I think even bringing hockey to the South will make that go up as well. Like you talked about Seth Jones, that's definitely going to be a benefit of it. Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I think this is a no-brainer for the Stars. I think it's great for everybody.
So anyways, Max Fortunas, welcome back to the Texas Stars and to the Stars organization overall. We're very happy to have you back. And I just wanted to mention that because I loved Max Fortunas as a player. So I'm just really excited that he's back with the Dallas Stars. Okay, that takes care of all the recent Stars news, which actually that was a decent amount considering we're, just starting the offseason. Normally, starting the offseason, you don't get as much as that. But okay, anyways, let's get to some of these discussions and some of these questions that are going to be going on over the next couple of months during the offseason. So there are a lot of speculation going on right now around the NHL that, first off, Khudobin is probably out. Whether he gets traded or taken by the Kraken or whatever. But then there's even people that are going a step further. And with the goaltending situation in Dallas, they're asking, is Ottinger the number one goalie for Dallas next season? And there is a ton of speculation into that. Chris, what's your first thoughts on Ottinger being the number one goalie, starting maybe even as early as next season?
Yeah, my gut reaction to that is that's stupid. Like, that's a dumb rumor. Like, we have Ben Bishop, who's been a Vezina candidate every year when he's healthy. So I don't know why. Well, no, I do know why. It's because everyone has short-term memories and can't remember. Like, Ben Bishop is one of the greatest hockey players ever to play for Dallas.
When he's healthy.
So if he's injured, yeah. Like, I know he gets injured. So if he's injured, yeah, Ottinger's going to be the starting goalie, I guess. If that's what people mean, then sure. But we're not going to put Ben Bishop on the bench. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah, that doesn't exactly make sense to me. And I was going to mention that. I'm glad you did, because you know, everyone forgets what he's done. He was probably number two. He was number two for the Vezina 2 years ago. And I really think the only reason why he lost
is because the Stars sucked.
Yes, exactly. The Stars sucked and didn't give him very much help. And he didn't play enough games, I guess.
That's the only stat he was behind on was wins. That was the only stat he was losing in. Every other stat he was beating him. So I don't. Yeah, that's a dumb question. I feel like it's just people who really just can't think back to 2 years ago. Like, do people forget that game 7 against the Blues? Like, two overtimes and he just refused to allow a goal go in? Like, I don't know.
Well, and that's a lot of that's one statistic that a lot of people get forgetting, is that the past 2 years, not including this year, we've lost to the Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah.
I mean, how much does that suck to think about? We lost to the Blues and double overtime in Game 7.
Yeah, and Jamie
Benn, and Jamie Benn was that close, literally not even an inch from scoring the game-winning goal. And then, you know, last year we lose in 6 to the Tampa Bay Lightning, who were just a stacked team compared to the Stars and with all the injuries that we had. So, I mean, that's a hard thing to think about. So, going into next season, what is the situation with the Dallas Stars goaltending? What happens?
Ottinger is the full-fledged backup, and he's going to be great at it. I mean, we saw it in the World Championships just now. He comes in and lets in one goal. Like, that's amazing. And he's done that all throughout this season as well. And if Bishop does get hurt, man, we've got some good insurance. I mean, I think that's a great option. And even if we want to, we can play him as a very active backup if we want to try and stop Bishop from getting hurt. But I don't think Bishop's injuries come from old age, really. I think he's just very unlucky. So I don't think that would matter as much, but I think he should be the full-fledged backup. There should be no 1A, 1B garbage. It should be Ben Bishop is in until he's hurt. And when he's hurt, we'll put in Ottinger.
I don't necessarily agree with that 100%. I agree with you that Ben Bishop is the number one. He's still the number one. I think he needs more time to rest, especially because he's old. I know you don't agree with that, but I think it's because he's old. And then, plus, we have a stellar netminder with whoever we go with. You know, I mean, Hudobin will not be forced to be a number one goalie next year if he's still here. And if it's Ottinger, I mean, holy crap. I mean, we're stacked in the goaltending department right now.
Well, I'm going to fight against the Hudobin thing. We should not have Hudobin on the roster next season. Like, that's, like, after signing Haskinen, that's, like, number one job for Jim Nill is to dump Hudobin's contract so we can pay some people. Because we have so many good players coming up that need to get paid. There's no reason for us to have that expensive of a backup who's obviously not a starter. I mean, we saw it this year. He had a great playoff run. That was outstanding. He's a great backup goalie. He's been one of the best backup goalies in the league for his entire career. But that's what he is, unfortunately. So I think when you're paying Ottinger basically nothing to be arguably better than what you're paying for Doby, which is millions, it doesn't make sense.
All right, so just to throw some stats at you for Jake Ottinger this season. He played in 29 games, started in 24. He went 11-8-7, which is kind of a sucky record, but I wouldn't really put that on him. He had a 2.36 goals against average and a .911 save percentage on a team that missed the playoffs. So yeah, that's some I would say above average stats for a rookie goaltender.
Those are good for a goalie on a good team. So I think that's great.
So, and what's funny is, like, in a 7-month span, you know, from like October to now, he went from, you know, being the number one goaltender in the AHL to the NHL backup, just to give the starter a breather, which was Hudobin. That was what we all talked about. We talked about Hudobin's going to play as many games as possible, and Nottinger's just going to be thrown in there kind of every once in a while. And then now he's just a flat-out NHL starter goaltender.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Like, what are you going to do with Ottinger if you don't move Hudobin in the offseason? He's an NHL goalie.
He's ready.
Yeah. Either way, even if you have to move Ottinger, which I don't see ever happening, you have to move one of them. There's no reason to keep Ottinger in the AHL. It would be a disservice to him.
Yeah, especially based off of the way he played this season. So the one thing that I would have an issue with is not trading Ottinger at all. If Nil trades Ottinger, which I don't think he's that stupid, it would be a catastrophe for the Stars. Because, you know, if we do trade him, we better be getting something really good back. Because Ottinger is the Stars' next number one starter after Bishop has gone. And Bishop's going to be gone within the next couple of years. He's getting up there in age. So he's our next one. And, you know, unfortunately for Ottinger, he didn't really get a lot of time for practice just because of how the schedule was, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can only imagine what he could do next season. It could be crazy. So I definitely think moving Hudobin is the best thing to do, especially to sign all these young players that we need to resign.
Well, and just with the fact that they didn't have a ton of, you know, practice, and especially after the week of getting shut down because of the weather in February, they didn't have practice at all. And, you know, especially for a young goaltender like Jake Ottinger, that's kind of important. I mean, they did what they could, Jeff Reese and Jake Ottinger, but there's just not always time to do that just because there's too many games.
Yep, I agree. You could be very good.
great commentary, Chris. Great job.
Thank you.
Okay, so one of the things that I did want to talk about with Ottinger, though, is Ben Bishop on a short leash next year if Jake Ottinger is ready to be that number one goaltender? So let's say we get to through the first third of the season.
Yeah.
And you know, the Stars can, you know, completely ignore the fact that this is probably our last chance to win a cup with this core. But I think next season is the last chance to win a cup with this core. If Bishop doesn't do well through the first third of the season, does it become Jake Ottinger's net?
That's a much more interesting question, in my opinion. I think it kind of depends. Like, if Ottinger is playing even a little bit better than he did this season, and if Bishop really doesn't look like he's back to the way he was, I think, yeah. And then you can look to trade Bishop, and that would be crazy. So I think Ottinger is ready for whatever it is, but I think Ben Bishop isn't going to do that. But if somehow that happens, I do think Ottinger could step into that role, and it would probably be worth the risk. But as of right now, if Ben Bishop plays like he did before he got injured, like that's not going to be an option.
All right. And well, if that's the case, then would getting rid of Anton Hudobin too quickly be a bad thing? Let's just say that.
Well, then what are you going to do with Anton? Are you going to put him in the AHL?
I guess. Would you?
No. He's got a one-way. You can't put him in the AHL unless you put him on waivers, and he's not going on waivers without getting picked up.
The only way that he would let's just say that it will be. I'm 95% sure. Ottinger and Bishop next year. The only way that he's going to come up to the AHL level is if there is a major, major injury to one of those two guys. And, you know, as stupid as that sounds to keep Anton Khudobin in the AHL, you know, especially in a season like this, it was important to see, you know, how many goaltenders teams used. I mean, you have to have three goaltenders in order to be successful this season, right?
But there's no way Ottinger is in the AHL next season.
No, I'm not saying Ottinger. I'm saying Khudobin.
You can't put Khudobin in AHL. He has a one-way contract.
I still think he can be put down if he goes through waivers.
You have to go through waivers. He's not going to get through waivers.
I think he does. I mean, the only way that...
How would he get through waivers?
Because if you look at trying to trade him and nobody wants his contract, which you have to admit, it's a high contract, right?
Somebody would take his contract if you say that all I want is a fourth-round pick. And if you're going to say, oh, you can have him for free now, someone's going to take him.
Right, and then...
He's a lifelong NHL goalie. He's not playing in the AHL. I'm not having this conversation.
Okay, well...
This is a bad hypothetical.
Well, it may be a bad hypothetical, but I think it would be a good thing to keep it.
Even behind that, we have Landon Beau, or even Point. Like, I think they're both adequate. Like, they could be backups. They won't be great, but, like, there's no reason to have a $5 million third goalie.
So this is a quote from Jay Gottinger and talking about this summer and also where he wants to be in next season. So and this is quote straight from Jay Gottinger. I'd be lying if I said I wanted to be anywhere but Dallas next season. That's my goal. I want to be in Dallas. I want to be a Dallas Star and help the team to make the playoffs next year. I can't really focus on who is in front of me or the situation with other goalies around me. I have a ton of work to do, and I'm excited about the summer I have ahead of me. I think if I do all the right things this summer and prepare the way and train the way I know I'm going to, I'll be ready to be a Dallas Star next season no matter what. That's the only thing I'm focused on right now. I can't control any of the other situations. Right now, I'm focused on this World Championships, and then after that, just getting better and doing everything I can in order to make sure that I'm ready for the Dallas Stars next year. So, that sounds like a guy that expects to be in the NHL next season.
I expect him to be in the NHL next season, so I'm with him.
Well, just based off of what I'm hoping, I hope it doesn't get to the fact that he has to be the number one goaltender next year. And I don't think it will be next season. So to answer the big overall question of what we have been trying to answer for the past 10 minutes, is Ottinger the number one goaltender for Dallas next season? I say
no.
Maybe. The only situation that it would happen is if Bishop is not playing the way that he will be. And I think that Ottinger will get that shot if that happens. Is it likely to happen? No. So...
But he's at least number two.
He's at the very least number two. Well, and so...
If I'm Ottinger and I'm playing in the AHL, I want to trade. Like, I'm going to be stuck in the AHL if they don't let me out. So that would be crazy.
Well, I don't think so. I think that, you know, you give it a year, and if he does get put in the AHL, which won't happen, then I don't think he'll request a trade. I think he'll just expect to get it next season.
No,
that's all hypothetical. It's not going to happen. We both know that he's not going to be in the AHL next season. There's not a chance. But you know, now that I'm thinking about it, because something crossed my mind, when players, you know, came up to the Stars organization, and I'm thinking like, you know, Roope Hintz and Gary Onuf, specifically these two guys. So they made their debut for the Stars, and they did okay. They didn't do too great. And then they got put back down into the AHL just for a period of time. Not for a long time, but just for a period of time. And you know, for Ottinger, if he does get put down in the AHL, it may be for the whole season. But for Hintz and for Gerionov, it actually worked out for the best to be put down in the AHL for a period of time, because they came back and they were way better than they were before they got put down.
But
for
they
that
got
short
put down
AHL
because
stint.
They were playing bad. Oettinger is playing like at least a top three rookie goaltender right now.
And that is one that is my big. Well, I wouldn't say he's number three. There's a lot more better rookie goaltenders this season. Okay, all right, let's get into this. Okay, now hold on. No,
I'm not talking about this.
Yes. Okay, because you're wrong. Okay, so here are some goaltenders that I can name three off the top of my head that have been better than Jake Oettinger this season. Okay, number one overall, Alex Nedeljkovic. Carolina goaltender, did you see him play today? Some of the saves that he made were absolutely freaking insane. And he's in the... And then another one I would put out there is Kaapo Kakkonen with the Minnesota Wild. He's had a really good season as well. And then I think the next goaltender I'd probably put, who is probably, I'd put him ahead of Jake Oettinger a little bit, is Kevin Lankinen for the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, over the course of the season, Kevin Lankinen started out better than Jake Oettinger, but towards the end, Jake Oettinger was the better goaltender at the end of the season than Kevin Lankinen. But there were a lot of rookie goaltenders this season that played excellent. So what do you think? You think I'm wrong? I see that look on your face.
Yes, you are so wrong. My gosh.
Go for it. Okay, out of those
we're literally having a conversation, is Oettinger better than Ben Bishop right now? Are you like... And he's not the third best rookie goalie.
No.
I was being very, very lenient by saying third best.
I still think Nedeljkovic and Kakkonen are better. But
no, that is
Oettinger is getting up there.
That is stupid.
He is getting up there.
That is dumb.
Okay, all right. Before we start, having a... can we have a brawl over online? I don't know if that's even possible. Before we get into more of this, let's go to our next topic. So Saad Youssef had a article that he put up on The Athletic that was an interesting take. And you can answer this question or not, but this is what Saad Youssef is saying. And he answers this question. Is missing the playoffs this season ultimately the Stars' best chance of winning the Stanley Cup next season? What's the short answer? Yes or no?
The short answer is it looks like it.
Well, let's take a look at some of the reasons and, reasoning behind why he says this. One of the first things is, would it really be better if the Stars were playing against the Carolina Hurricanes right now?
I mean, from what the Preds are doing, yeah.
Yeah, but we weren't healthy. We didn't have a number one goaltender. Jake Oettinger was the closest thing to our number one goaltender. Khudobin was not playing well this season overall. He had games where he played well, but overall it was not a great season for him. And let me just read this, because Saad puts it a lot better than I could. So he writes, even if the Stars had scored a goal in regulation in Nashville on May 1st, won a few of those overtime losses, and punched their ticket to the playoffs, were they built to outlast Carolina in the seven-game series, and then potentially beat Andre Vasilevsky in the Tampa Bay Lightning in a seven-game set after that, and then defeat the highest remaining seed in the semifinals, and then conquer the only other team remaining in the Stanley Cup final, even the most optimistic of hockey fans would look at that and scoff, especially given the below-average seasons produced by other players on the Stars roster. I mean, that in a nutshell kind of makes me want to agree with Saad and say, yeah, yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to play devil's advocate because I agree with some of this,
well,
but not all of it.
It's more fun to be devil's advocate, so go for it.
So first of all, we don't know that. Like, what were we saying in the bubble playoffs after those terrible round robin games?
That was a very good point.
We are saying we are going to lose to the Flames. who sucked.
and nobody, one person had us beating the Flames.
Yeah, one person from NHL.com had us beating the Flames when we were the higher seed by a lot and had a way better team in the regular season by a lot.
Yeah, we were the third seed and they were the sixth seed.
And you and me predicted we were going to lose in the first round.
We both did, yeah. I remember that.
So you don't know. Like, it's hockey. It's crazy. The Kings won being the eighth seed a few years ago. So
well, it was more than a few.
Won, the others... The Blues won the other season when they were the worst team in hockey halfway through the season.
Yeah, back in January.
You don't know. It's sports. That's why sports is fun. But I totally get the point. Yes, it doesn't sound likely. So the counterpoint to that is also it makes your franchise look bad. Like the Stars are on again, off again with the playoffs every year. What was – we've been to the playoffs like four times out of the past 12 years.
Okay, well – But like, you have to look at it
this
way.
Hold on. I'm not done. Let me make my point, then okay. You can refute it. I know you were reading my mind, but the people don't. So a free agent looking in on the Dallas Stars franchise, they're saying, okay, these guys are in the playoffs and out of the playoffs. They're just a constant bubble team. And we know that's not true. Like, we know that we're a great team and that we've gotten unlucky. But for a hockey player who's just looking from the outside and not digging really deep, like –
But he would have somebody. He would have somebody tell him that they were ravaged. No, there would be somebody that would tell. Okay, Jack Eichel. Let's just say Jack Eichel and hope for the best, and say Jack Eichel wants to come to Dallas. It won't happen. But let's just say that he's like a free agent, okay? And you know he's looking at the Stars and he's thinking about potentially coming to the Stars. Obviously, he's up in the Northeast, so he's not paying attention a lot to, you know, Western hockey in the Western part of the United States or in the Central Division. But someone would tell him, this team is good. It looks deceptive.
You
they had
so?
No, you have to look at the injuries they had. Jim,
you don't
yeah,
know that.
Yes, I do. I know. Hockey players are not stupid, and especially players like Jack Eichel and those free agents that we want to bring to the Stars.
If Jack Eichel wants to win a cup and he has the option to go to Dallas for $2 extra million a year or go to Tampa Bay, where is he going to go? He's going to go to Tampa Bay
okay,
every time.
Okay, but there is no chance he's going to Tampa Bay. There is.
Why?
Look at the cap situation that Tampa Bay is in right now.
I'm not talking about the cap. I'm talking about the reputation of the teams right now.
Okay, but that's not right now. That's exactly what you're talking about. No,
the Stars' reputation, we still have. You know, Monty talking about the culture of mediocrity, it doesn't look like it changed just because we missed the playoffs. And there's obviously other things that are different, but it okay, tell me it's not slightly embarrassing to have been the runner-up to the Stanley Cup last season and to this season not even make the playoffs. Tell me that's not embarrassing at all.
I agree with you that it was embarrassing, but you
why would a hockey player want to go to a team like that?
Because you have to look at the team, what they had, and what they were missing during the season. Who were we missing the entire season?
I know. We just talked about it.
Ben Bishop. He was a Vezina-level goaltender 2 years ago. The only reason why he can't be in the Vezina conversation every year is just because he can't freaking stay healthy. That's the only reason.
And some guys might see that. And others might not. But everyone's going to see it with Tampa. There's no chance you don't see with Tampa. You're like, yeah, Tampa's a great team. Everybody knows that, even stupid people. So if there's a really good stupid hockey player somehow, they're going to miss us.
Okay, random tangent. I hate the freaking Tampa Bay Lightning right now and the fact that they're $15 million over the cap. Stupid.
Hey,
okay, I'm over
it. GM's a smart dude.
Yeah, Breezebrough, yeah. Yeah, he's pretty smart. Yeah. I'm just going to hold out my best player for the entire season, you know, just because, you know.
Kucherov and Stamkos just so happened to be healthy for the first game of the season at the exact same time.
I know, right? Yeah.
What a coincidence, man. That's so lucky.
That's so funny. Okay.
Those are lucky guys.
Okay, so, all right. We kind of got off of that. All right.
But do you understand the point, at least?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Like. As a Dallas Stars fan, not being in the playoffs and being runners-up, it feels bad to me. So imagine how it would look to other players.
Yeah, but that one paragraph in that article really says everything to me, because just think about it. Okay, so Carolina, are you probably the best team other than Colorado in the NHL, right? So okay, fine, you beat Carolina, great. Okay,
I understand.
Now you have
We're
to play Tampa Bay.
The likelihood of that happening is almost nothing. I understand that. But what does it hurt? We get into the playoffs, we're like, all right, we're probably going to lose to Carolina in four, and then we do. But at the very least, what we get is we say we were in the playoffs again.
With a really messed up team and no top-end players. Yeah.
Exactly. So you're in the same spot, but you made the playoffs.
But the difference is that you get a little bit of extra time for those players who are really hurt. Radulov, Sagan,
Boxa. Radulov is not coming back.
Okay, but think about it. Okay, let's just say that they do win the first round series against Carolina, and let's also say that they win the second round series against Tampa Bay. Okay, that alone would probably take about 3 weeks, because I don't see any way that we beat them in four. There's not a chance.
At that point, a conference final appearance is well worth it.
Well,
that would be awesome. I would be so happy with that.
But that's not the goal, Chris. That is not the goal, to make the conference finals. That gives those players who are really hurt right now, like I'm thinking specifically Radek Foxa, who was hurt the entire season. He played almost every single game. And everybody in the Star, like all Stars fans, we talked about this. He looked off the entire year, and he didn't play well. But he now, because they didn't make the playoffs, he has an opportunity to get healthier for longer and gets extra time to get to, I forget what it was, a wrist, I think?
Yeah,
it was a wrist. It was a wrist. He gets extra time to fix that wrist and just go all in this season, like the Toronto Maple Leafs are doing this season.
So the two choices are you go to the conference finals or you get – okay, here, let me lay it out better. You go to the conference finals and Radek Foxa and let's say Tyler Seguin, maybe somehow he gets re-hurt in the season. And
well, he wasn't 100%.
And who else was injured during the season?
Radulov? Bishop?
No. Who was playing? Who would have been playing in the playoffs?
Oh, Hintz.
Hintz.
Heiskanen was out a couple of times. Klingberg was also...
And Klingberg. So you get those five guys maybe miss 8 games in the regular season. Or you don't make the playoffs at all and are kind of the laughingstock of the NHL and you get...
Okay, no,
regular.
That is way too far. Laughingstock? Okay.
It's...
Buffalo. No, Buffalo. Absolutely freaking no. Buffalo.
They're not supposed to be good. Buffalo didn't go to the Stanley Cup final last year.
Okay, but they were also expected to be better, and there were no expectations for Buffalo. And somehow, they sucked even more than last season. They weren't expected to make the playoffs in the Division of Death.
But the trade for having 8 extra regular season games with
I don't think
guys.
It's worth it. I don't think it's worth it. No.
Or a conference finals appearance,
and
it's not worth it.
I completely agree with you on that first point. You know, you make the playoffs, you have no idea what's going to happen. And you're right. Look at the Carolina-Nashville series. We thought that Carolina was going to run away with this series after winning the first two games. And Nashville has proven to be resilient, at least in their own building, and now it's tied 2-2. But at the same time, are we able with the – with all the injuries that we had to get all the way to the finals, and let's just say that we have to play Colorado.
No, but that's not my point. My point is that we look like we at least had a decent season.
Well, I don't care about I don't care about a decent season.
Free agents care about a decent season, not us. Free agents do. If we want players to come play for us, we need to be showing that we're a good hockey team.
But we don't
go and
need.
Win the cup.
We don't need free agents. Do we?
Anybody?
No.
Heiskanen to re-sign for less because we'll go win a cup. All that stuff correlates. If you're going to a bet, why do you think Toronto always gets such great signings? Because it's Toronto.
No, that's not true.
How is that not true?
Look at the sign. Okay,
people
we're gonna get into
massive pay cuts to go to Toronto.
we're getting into something that's not star stuff. Okay, anyway, Toronto, absolutely not true. Okay, look at their top four players. Okay, that make $40 million each. Okay, those guys did not take a discount to be in Toronto. Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, Tavares. How much does he make?
Oh my god.
Tavares, how much does he make, Chris? $11 million. How much does Mitch Marner make? $10.5 million. How much does Austin Matthews make? Not only does he make over $10 million, but he got a 5-year contract when he signed it, and that puts him all the way to unrestricted free agency. So don't tell me that crap.
Those guys get paid so much more than that. That's ridiculous.
No, that's not true. If they really wanted to build a team and go out and get more players, I just think that's the brilliance of Kyle Dubas. He got went out.
Are
and
you?
Got,
oh my god.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
What a stupid argument.
No, Kyle Dubas got really good because he went out and found some bargain signings and Joe Thornton, Jason Spezza.
Wayne just so Simmons? Happened to be bargains. I don't know why they were bargains. He's just really good negotiator, I guess. I think he's just a good negotiator.
No,
just a good negotiator, I guess. He created a good team.
Okay, we're getting off of this. Okay, all right. Anyways, you're wrong. You suck. You're stupid. Shut up, Chris. Okay. Anyways. Okay. We're running out of time here, so let's get to our. We're going to skip that third bullet, Chris.
Wait, but real quick.
Okay,
go ahead. The thing I did agree with, if you say missing the playoffs as in, like, having all those players hurt, this will be good for us in the long run because we would have no idea about Ottinger. We would have no idea about Robertson.
Hintz. He took a huge step.
About Pavelski playing better again.
Holy crap. 37-year-old player.
Yeah. So I think overall this is a good thing. I think the exact point that is being made in this article is incorrect. I think making the playoffs with the same guys that we have right now would have helped at least a little bit. Okay, we can move on now.
Okay, all right. Okay, door is shut. Okay. All right, our last Stars topic that we want to talk about before we get to some of the current playoff stuff. And what I was taking a look at was how teams in the playoffs are built, okay? So when you look at the top teams in the NHL, they have offensive elite players, okay? Most of them. Now, some of the exceptions I would point out is, you know, like, New York, New York Islanders, okay? Yes, Matthew Barzal is a great offensive player, okay? But that's not what he's known for. Or that's not what New York is known for, right? New York is known for their what? For their defensive style of the game, just like the Stars. A very similar style of play, okay? But when you look at the teams that are winning the Cup, they have all of those things plus offensive elite players. And I think that's the thing that the Stars are missing right now. So
I think it's more
here's
so
my,
more offense. I think the Stars and the Islanders are the two best defenses in the league.
Right.
Like, and over the past 5 years, and the offensive teams are still beating them just because that's the way hockey is being played right now.
Right, and I completely agree with that, 100%, okay? But my question is this what the Stars are missing to win the ultimate prize of the Stanley Cup? And if that is the case, if that is what they're missing, it's just a couple of elite players, because we used to have that with Sagan and Benn, and then we went to a defensive style, and then that kind of went downhill, partially just because Sagan and Benn are getting older. But
yeah, there's some arguments between the cause and effect.
Right, okay. But if the answer to that question is yes, and what is the answer to that question? Yes or no?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I think
so. If that's the answer to the question is yes, we could have a lot of arguments and stuff about that. But what players who would those players be for the Stars? And
are we talking short term or are we talking long term?
I'm talking about right now. Because if we're talking about with this core right now, next season, who are the quote unquote, like, you know how the potential in NHL 21, they have like top six and all that in the elite? Okay, who are those elite players for the Stars? If you had to list them in NHL 22, who would be like one or two players for the Stars who would be that elite potential?
Well, the elite potential right now is Hintz, Gurianov, and Haskinen. So those are the guys I think who have the best potential to do it.
And now, and I'm specifically talking offensively because that's what obviously what the Stars need. It's not defense that the Stars need.
Yeah,
We need offense.
Could be as big of an offensive threat as Erik Karlsson was in his heyday.
100% agree.
I think Heiskanen is definitely on that list.
Agree.
So, and the reason that they're the best chance is because they haven't really lived up to it yet, but we can see that they could, that they can, and they could. And then after that, it's pretty much Sagan, Ben, Radulov, Pavelski, pretty much in whatever order you want. But that's just hoping that they decide to play good hockey again, which from last season, it looks like it's not going to happen. Not from Sagan and Radulov, obviously, they didn't play. But from Ben and Pavelski, they're not going to be able to be super – Pavelski had a great season, but he didn't have a Connor McDavid season or a Patrick Kane season or anything like that. And that's kind of what we're talking about.
That's not really fair to compare Pavelski to Connor McDavid.
Okay, Patrick Kane or Mitch Marner or whatever. He's not an elite forward. He's a good forward on a defensive hockey team. He's right. Not going to be an elite forward.
Okay, so in order for the Stars to be 100% successful and have those elite players, I think what we need it to be, and I am 100% counting on this, Roope Hintz has to have a monster season next year. And I think he could be. I think he could be a 30-goal scorer for the Stars next season.
Yeah, I think that's the likeliest as well.
And then he's obviously the most likely, and I don't see how he couldn't, based off of the season he had. He was hurt most of the season with a nagging injury. And he was still a point-per-game player, or very close to it. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'd have to look that up. But, and then my other thing is that, I mean, who would be your second player that you would expect to be that elite player?
Gurianov.
Really?
Definitely. I mean, he didn't have a great season this year.
Sophomore slump. Like, we're just going to attribute that to a sophomore slump, hopefully.
Yeah, everyone has a sophomore slump. He was like taken away from his office on the power play that we saw in the playoffs so much, which I don't really understand. It looked like he lost confidence. And I feel like he has all those skills to be an amazing power forward, and he could still completely and totally be that. And he might just blow up next season. You just don't know. And what we're talking about with these forwards blowing up, this is the way that we become like the best team in the NHL. Like, if one of these players, like, rises to be one of the top 10 or 20 forwards, like, Dallas is instantly, like, a favorite for the Cup if this happens. Like, even without that, I think they're still a contender, at least.
Even before Gary Yamov, I would say Jason Robertson. I'm on the fence about that a little bit, but just based off of what we've seen... And Gurianov is not a two-way player. He is a sniper through and through. He does not play on the penalty kill.
Yeah,
and you know,
is
Jason
Connor McDavid a two-way player? Not really.
Not really, but he also scores points to make up for that. So that's not exactly fair. But I just think for this team to be incredibly successful, those two guys have to take their chemistry to the next level. And those two guys together. Go ahead.
And they have to be given chemistry too. And I think Gurianov needs to be put back on that line as well. Like, if you're saying those three guys are going to be the future of the team, which it obviously looks like it is, like, why are they not playing together? I feel like it's kind of silly.
Because they may not have the same chemistry together.
That's
going to
get me back into the whole thing, arguments about me not liking the way Bones coaches, so I'm just going to ignore that.
How many times have we talked about that? Several times. Okay, anyways, all right. So those are my two picks. I think that both Robertson and Roope Hintz have to have monster seasons next year in order for the Stars to be super successful, because I don't think we're going to go out and get a big-time forward in free agency. We don't have the cap space.
Yeah.
And two, there's too many important players that we need to sign.
Well, technically, we have a ton of cap space right now, but it's about to all be gone.
Well, I mean...
we got some players to re-sign.
What? Heiskanen's going to take up half of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen the projected numbers for him? You know, we were talking like, you know, 7, 8 million, and the projected cap of what I've seen from a lot of people... They did, like, these models and math stuff and, you know, stuff I don't understand or care about. But the number that they got to was basically 8.5, 8 for 8 years. That would take up half of that cap right there. So
I mean,
we'll have to hope that the intangibles of us having a good team next year will keep him around and maybe lower his cap hit a little bit.
I think those models are flawed from the Corona stuff as well. Like, if cap grew at the same pace, I think that would be close to it, but I think that's going to be a little bit off.
All right. Lots of good talk, Chris, even though you're wrong about most of it. Okay. We don't have a ton of time to talk about this, but let's talk about some of the current playoff situations. We got about 4 minutes to go. Okay.
All right, well, first I want to say I'm a genius and everything I've picked has been correct so far.
One of the things that I've noticed is that the number three seeds, except for Minnesota, have actually done really well.
Which I also predicted because Minnesota sucks.
Yeah. I thought that would be a more fun series than it has been, and it has not been very fun for Minnesota. So they had a great season, but
you and James both. I don't know what's up with y'all. Like,
I don't know either. But I like
Kaprizov.
I didn't
think they were a good team.
He's
the
fun
whole
to watch.
Season. He's annoying.
We kind of have to hate him just because he's going to take the Calder Cup from
Robinson. Keep going.
Okay. Anyways, okay, so the two series I wanted to point out real quick is the Panthers look like they're going to start Spencer Knight for Game 5. This is their third goaltender they're going to be starting in this series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I disagree with the decision, but I understand why they're doing it, because Driedger and Bobrovsky both have not looked fantastic. The second thing I wanted to point out, we kind of already hinted at it, was Nashville and Carolina. Home ice has been very important in that series. It is now tied 2-2 going into Game 5, a pivotal Game 5 in Carolina. So that's going to
be
very important.
That might be why it's so fun, because the stadiums are packed. It's so cool.
Yeah, I got goosebumps watching the Game 1 Carolina.
Yeah, I literally got chills.
Yeah, I got chills. I did as well. All right, and then, you know, I wanted to spend more time on this this particular topic. But what did you think of the Nazem Kadri 8-game suspension? Was that warranted? Is that too much? Was it too little?
That was very warranted. I mean, playoff games are at least worth double regular season games, and that was a disgusting hit. He totally went straight for his head. He did nothing to get out of the way. It was gross. Like, yeah.
Well, those are the kind of hits that the NHL are trying to get out of the game, and it's unfortunate that it happened.
And he needs to be on, like, a big red watch list for, like, the next 5 to 10 seasons. Because that hit was it was disgusting. Like, that was one of the worst hits I've seen in a while. It was really disgusting.
Well, I watched the hockey guy video. He does a review of every playoff game. And after that game, the one thing he said was, you know, Kyle Dubas is watching that game now and saying, that's exactly why I traded him from Toronto. It's because of the stupid hits like that. And he hurts himself doing that. So,
It was gross. It was disgusting.
Breaking news today was that he is appealing that suspension.
Which means he gets to play.
No, I don't. Does it?
I think it means he gets to play.
Okay, maybe that's true. Okay, I don't know how that works. I'll have to look it up. But I think the 8-game suspension is completely warranted, even based off of past seasons, and he hasn't been able to get away from that. Last season, he did a good job in his first season in Colorado and staying away from stuff like that, but he's right back to it. So I hope he spends the whole 8 games being out of the playoffs, which, I mean, it doesn't look like Colorado really needs him.
The player will remain suspended pending appeal,
okay,
apparently.
Okay. All right, and then the last thing I want to mention before we get off here, we got about a minute. That scary injury situation with John Tavares in Game 1 against Montreal, that was very scary to watch.
Yeah, that was just a sucky hockey situation. It's going to happen when you have a bunch of guys on the ice.
Oh, and of course it has to be Corey Perry, right? I mean,
yeah.
Corey Perry is not the same player he was, but he dropped the gloves, you know, afterwards just because he had to. I don't think the Toronto blamed him for it. He was falling down.
Yeah,
it was just
everybody on the ice understood
the situation.
They fought, and which was what needs to happen. I mean, I thought they handled the situation the best they could. It just sucks that it happened. It's just sad.
All right, that's going to do it for us tonight, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. This has been Ryan and Zach on Starcast Secret Marks.
Zach?
Zach, Chris. Sorry, Chris. I love you. Sorry.
Just play this song. Okay.
Bye, guys. Have a good evening. Follow us on all our Twitter stuff. Have a good evening.